Hello, Exopolitics listeners. I'm R.V. Romero, Stellar Artistic Director of Exopolitics Radio. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our show and for taking an interest in the evolution of our planet and our species through Exopolitics Radio and the study of law and order in the universe. For over a year now, I've enjoyed working closely with your elusive host, Alfred Weber, on this fine production that we're proud to broadcast on a weekly basis and post free of charge on our website. Currently, I'm happy to say that in the last 90 days, ExopoliticsRadio.com has been visited by people in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the U.S. During that time, we've averaged over 5,000 podcast downloads per show, and we're adding listeners every week with affiliates at Paranormal Radio, the Revere Radio Network, and most recently, Kansas City Online Radio. Now, I'm telling you all this to give you an update on how our show is progressing, and also to let you know that indeed, the number of intelligent people here on Earth who are catching on to the fact that there are other intelligent life forms in the universe is growing. And Exopolitics Radio is proud to be on the cutting edge of this revelation by reporting news and providing the insight and perspectives that you can't find anywhere else on the radio, in the newspapers, or on the television. We want to continue bringing you Exopolitics Radio both online and on air free of charge, as we always have, because we believe in the message and the content. However, as a studio and production team, we do have routine expenses which must be maintained in order to do so. It pains us to ask, and I promise we won't do it often, but if every listener online donated $1 a month, that would completely cover our production costs for the show and the immense amount of time spent doing research, interviews, and production time given graciously by our host. Of course, not every listener is going to be able to donate $1 or donate on a monthly basis, so if you could consider donating a little bit more, that would be a tremendous help and allow us to continue adding more and more affiliates, creating new programs, interviews, and materials, and most importantly, continue broadcasting this message of hope and truth around the globe and the universe. So whatever the outcome, I can promise you that we will continue working to bring you a unique and sincere program week in and week out, 12 months a year. So we thank you for your support of Exopolitics Radio. Please remember to go to www.exopoliticsradio.com and click on the donate menu option for more information. Thank you very much, and now back to the show.
The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, a weekly magazine format public affairs program on exopolitics, the new political science of outer space, the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. Exopolitics Radio can be heard on 1480 AM KPHX Progressive Talk Phoenix and worldwide on the internet at www.exopoliticsradio.com. Our audio archives, which is how the world accesses our programming, there are now 3 seasons of Exopolitics Radio online, over 50 programs, which some people have written in to say that they have listened to all of our programs at least twice, and I urge you to come and to comb them because they are truly a cosmic resource. Our audio archives are open free to the public 24/7 at www.exopoliticsradio.com. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and today we are starting with a special programming series on a severe crisis, an attack upon First Amendment rights. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution guarantees that there shall be no law or infringement by the government against freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And what we have coming out of the Stephenville, Texas UFO sightings, in which on January 8, 2008, a craft a mile long, half a mile wide, came in at 2,000 miles, viewed by many witnesses, and it came to a standstill glided over the town of Stephenville, Texas, stayed there so that all these witnesses could view it. That's within 60 miles of the Texas White House. There were F-16 jets in hot pursuit within a short distance of at least 25 U.S. military bases. And Angelia Joyner, a reporter there on the Stephenville newspaper, began to dig in. She was featured on CNN Larry King Live and on many international features. And she began to dig in and report on this story, including the fact that some of the witnesses were being harassed by U.S. government agents, including black helicopters. While she was summarily fired from her newspaper, reportedly under pressure from the city council, who perhaps under pressure from unnamed military intelligence sources of the U.S. government. Clearly, there are First Amendment issues raised here, both with the interference with the newspaper reporter, that's guaranteed under the First Amendment, and certainly with us citizens. So we have veteran investigative reporter Paola Harris here, who will be in the first of a two-part series on this, followed next week by Dr. Michael Sala, head of the Exopolitics Institute, to investigate further this latest attack upon our collective First Amendment rights in this issue. And so as our official Exopolitics commentary today in Counterbalance, we would like to explore the latest outrage in the 9/11 attacks, false flag operation by the Pentagon, the same agency that is involved in the truth embargo against the extraterrestrial presence. Now, some listeners to Exopolitics Radio have written in and asked, look, what is the connection between 9/11 and exopolitics? Why do you raise this? Well, that's a fair question, so we'll answer it. First of all, the same parties, the Pentagon, were behind the U.S. military intelligence units who carried out the false flag operation of September 11, 2001, using advanced energy and laser weapons that were developed under the black budget, under the same reverse engineering technology that is being used to develop the ARVs, the alien reproduction craft. How do we know that? We know that from the work of Professor Judy Wood of Clemson, formerly of Clemson University, and John Hutchison, a Canadian scientist who has discovered the Hutchison effect. And Professor Wood and John Hutchison will be my guests on Vancouver Co-op Radio here in Canada, and I'm hoping to do a show with them as well on Exopolitics Radio. So you can begin to see that the strike on the Pentagon was not done by 17 hijackers and airplanes, but it was done by advanced directed energy weapons that reduced 80% of the mass of the World Trade Center towers to nanoparticles, invisible nanoparticles. It just transformed the 80% of the mass of the World Trade Center into nanoparticles, invisible nanoparticles. And that's what these type of weapons do. So it's the same type of a weapon that an ARV uses or that an extraterrestrial vehicle might use against a hostile object, if necessary. So these are these advanced weapons. And this came, the false flag operation was carried out by the black budget. And it's the same forces that are behind the truth embargo. And the false flag operation of September 11th, 2001 was carried out as a pretext to launch a final desperate war of occupation against the world to occupy the hydrocarbon uranium resources of Central Asia, but more importantly, to impose a domestic police state throughout the world, kind of the New World Order, which is to hold the entire world population hostage against what the advanced upper-dimensional extraterrestrial civilizations are seeking, that humanity breakthrough to the next level of cosmic evolution. So that's what happened on September 11th, paradoxically, here in Vancouver, Canada, together with Dr. Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project, Dr. Cal Rosin, my co-director at the Institute for Cooperation in Space, and myself. We were holding a joint conference on September 9th, 2001 at Simon Fraser University on disclosure. And 2 days later happened the 9/11 attacks, kind of in, you know, this counterpoint. So that's why. And very briefly, what occurred just a couple of days ago is that the Pentagon is now seeking the death penalty for, quote, the alleged planners of the 9/11 attacks. And these are six individuals, sort of hapless individuals, who are being held. These are, you know, what they call patsies in the trade, in the false flag operation trade. When you're planning a false flag operation, you set up a person like a Lee Harvey Oswald, who you've kind of, you know, you sort of shadowed them a bit. And these are people who were involved with Bin Laden. Well, Bin Laden has been a CIA operative for decades. His family are business partners of the Bushes for decades. You know, this is all a false flag operation. And so the Pentagon is now seeking, in what universally has been condemned as a kangaroo court, the death penalty at the Guantanamo base in these waning months of the Bush administration before the Guantanamo base is shut down. All of the major U.S. presidential candidates want to shut down Guantanamo. And so the head guy who they say, oh, he planted the idea in Bin Laden, who's a CIA asset, in his ear in 1996 by saying, oh, let's fly airplanes into the World Trade Center, when we know we have eyewitnesses that former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld was planning 9/11 as early as 1971. We have eyewitnesses to that. This is just totally bizarre. So what I would like to do in the time that I have is just to read from a document called 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal Note. Pentagon seeks death penalty for alleged 9/11 planner, so that you can see how deep the permanent war economy through the Pentagon is attacking First Amendment rights in the United States and by extension in the world. They really want to capture your mind, folks, not only in the UFO ET area by firing journalists like Angelia Joyner in Stephenville, who is reporting on these massive UFOs and the harassment of witnesses, but continually in the 9/11 area, where they're trying to put up these patsies for a false flag operation that they undertook. So, Vancouver, BC, strategically, the Pentagon appears to be rushing to the death penalty six patsies who have been subjected to torture in a kangaroo military commission in the Guantanamo prison. The timing appears to be one of, quote, putting to rest the case of the 9/11 hijackers at a time when all major U.S. presidential candidates aggressively support the official 9/11, quote, Islamic terrorist false flag propaganda. The 9/11 truth movement is splintered and floundering, and the U.S. population is largely under the spell of the, quote, Orange Revolution tactics of an Illuminati-controlled 2008 presidential election candidates like Obama and Clinton, so that an attack on Iran and continued expansionism to occupy the natural resources and exterminate the population of Islamic nations can continue. The irony, of course, is that the Pentagon's very own sitting Secretary of Defense, Donald H. Rumsfeld, has committed Article 3 treason in the false flag operations of September 11th, 2001, and in the substantive memorandum to the U.S. Congress presented to Representative John Conyers and senior staff, chairman of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, shortly after the November 7th, 2006 midterm elections. The false flag operations of September 11, 2001, including the technological, logistical, and psychological warfare tools by which it was carried out, have largely been solved, and the solution is in the public domain, or soon will be. These tools include the use of secret quantum technologies, advanced electromagnetic Hutchinson effect, and or laser weaponry to induce molecular dissociation, psyops including manipulation of mainstream media news feeds, identifiable acts of treason by the sitting U.S. President, Vice President, Secretary of Defense, and numerous Jane and John Does within the U.S. military, intelligence, and other governmental communities going back decades to at least the early 1970s. In tandem with this aggressive, deep kangaroo court, totally transparent attack on the truth, on international law, on justice, by trying to hide its complicity in false flag operations by putting up six patsies to cover for its own complicity in its false flag operation, the Pentagon is now aggressively, not only in 9/11, trying to undertake an attack in its complicity in the ET UFO embargo by being the hand manipulating the intimidation of witnesses, and most plausibly the hand by acting through the city council of Stephenville to put pressure, untoward pressure, on the Stephenville newspaper to fire a reporter who is merely doing her job under the First Amendment and creating an atmosphere of fear and intimidation. This is contrary to the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, which the founding fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and all the founders of this land and all the soldiers and everyone involved in all the struggle of the United States to enforce these rights have given their lives over the years. So we say, cease and desist, Pentagon, stand down now. Stand down now. This has been an Exopolitics Radio commentary. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and today we have our Exopolitics commentator, Paula Harris, a member of the board of the Exopolitics Institute, and an Italo-American Exopolitics researcher, photojournalist, investigative reporter in the field of extraterrestrial-related phenomena research. She has studied extraterrestrial-related phenomena since 1979 and is on personal terms with many of the leading researchers in the field. From 1980 to 86, she assisted Dr. J. Allen Hynek with his UFO field investigations and has interviewed many top military witnesses concerning their involvement with the government truth embargo. In 1997, Ms. Harris met and interviewed Colonel Philip Corso in Roswell, New Mexico, and became a personal friend and confidant. She was instrumental in having his book, The Day After Roswell, for which she wrote the preface, translated into Italian. She has written for Nexus, UFO Magazine, Notiziario UFO Dossier Alieni, and Area 51. Her books include Connecting the Dots and Exopolitics, How Do You Talk to a Ball of Light? Paula's website, which I encourage you to visit, is at www.paulaharris.com. Welcome, Paula.
Hello, Alfred.
Well, you know, we have a very action-packed segment because although the sightings in January of this year in Stephenville, Texas, have occupied the national media attention, you've been instrumental in studying the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day 2008 sightings in San Diego, which haven't been focused on by the mainstream media. And I hope you could tell us about those.
Well, you know, I think that's very curious, Alfred. We're looking at 2008, and when I heard about the San Diego sightings, and I'll tell you how I got that from Italy. It was on an Italian YouTube, the actual Fox News report. And it's really weird that I should get it from Italy instead of the United States. And when I went to see the YouTube reporter, the Fox News reporter that was taking in all these calls from San Diego, and then they have the film footage that looks like flotilla, the same nine kind of lights that you see on the Mexican flotilla kinds of film, you know, the ones that Jaime Maussan shows. They're very clear. The film footage is very clear. And for 2 days, the Fox Network in San Diego was trying to deal with all the calls. It was kind of not played up as much. So I was very curious. And since I was invited to speak in San Diego in January, I decided that I was going to ask the people when I went there how many people saw them, how many people saw this phenomenon. So that was one thing I did. And the other thing I did, and I did it again today, is I called Mexico City and talked to Jaime Maussan himself and asked him if he had seen the footage. And I asked him, because of the report said they were Chinese lanterns, I said, do those look like Chinese lanterns to you? And Jaime Maussan said, no, they are not Chinese lanterns. Those are nine unidentified flying objects. And then he told me today that in Mexico right now, around the same date, the 31st of December to the 1st of January, in northern part of Acapulco, there were similar sightings, of which he has almost 100 videos from people. So right now we're looking at somebody or something that is visiting the planet, that was visiting the planet around the 31st of December, the 1st of January of 2008. And I think, Alfred, the dates are very important here. Those, now, with 100 videos in Mexico, with reports of UFOs in Southern California, there's something going on in that area. And what I don't understand, and this is why I think you're bringing it up, is all the media attention was given to Stephenville, and I'm sure the people saw what they saw, the mile-long UFO, but no media attention was given to where there is film footage.
Right. You know, what I'm doing is I'm looking at the one news article that appeared on the New Year's Day in the San Diego media. Here's one witness. He said, quote, we saw four orange lights in a square, and right behind there were three orange lights in a triangle, said Keegan, who is in the home financing business and his wife is a kindergarten teacher. There was no sound, no flashing lights, no vapor trail. They continued to watch the sky, and Keegan said the group saw four more lights appear at about 12:45 a.m. They traveled east to west and then disappeared in the sky over La Jolla. This is the San Diego sightings. And then at about the same time in Pacific Beach, in that same area, Dustin Gagnon, an amateur astronomer, said he and about a dozen friends saw the lights. So this is an amateur astronomer who's should be a reliable witness. Said he and about a dozen friends saw the lights from the backyard of his home. Gannon described them as nine red dots that traveled across the sky for about 7 minutes. About a half hour later, the group saw four red dots. They captured the images on video. So these are a slightly different phenomenon from the Stephenville phenomenon, which was described as a solid craft a mile long and about a half a mile wide, which came in at about 2,000 miles an hour, then slowed down to a virtual standstill and hovered over the town of Stephenville, which is about 17,000 people, and at some point was given chase by F-15s, and it's within 60 miles of the Texas White House there. So I'm just wondering how you see these phenomena in the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day sightings vis-a-vis the Stephenville that was on January 8th, just 8 days later.
Well, you know, I had a long conversation today with Jaime Maussan because
right.
I really believe that 2008 is going to have a lot of sightings, Alfred, and so does he. I mean, he's having all kinds of things happening in Mexico. And so how do I see it is I'm confused why we were covering the Stephenville. And we mean covering it if it's on Larry King Live. It was on Larry King Live, and Stanton Friedman was talking about it with James Fox. And this is being covered, and there's no film footage, but, you know, there's enough witnesses there. I'm wondering why that was covered and the San Diego sightings weren't covered, because those people feel very frustrated. They saw something, too. But you and I know that somebody is controlling the information, and somebody is deciding to do the media work on it. And, of course, you and I know that anybody that works in this is highly risking their job. And in the case of the Stephenville, the witnesses were taken seriously, but one of the witnesses was being harassed by the military. And one very responsible reporter, Angelina Joyner, was reporting the truth, that the witness was being harassed by the military. And thus, she was told to leave, and she lost her job. And this is really the problem. If we're going to report this, and people are harassed, and then reporters lose their jobs, I don't know how many other reporters are going to want to risk this, Alfred.
Right. So clearly what has happened here with regard to the Stephenville sightings, which happened on January 8th, just 8 days after the San Diego sightings, where they were reported on, where the reporter there, a very fine woman journalist, Angelia Joyner, was, as you stated, reporting on the harassment of the witnesses by sort of men in black and black helicopters. She was hounded and finally had her computer confiscated by her newspaper. And apparently it was through pressure from the city council of Stephenville. Now, there's a thing in the Constitution of the United States called the First Amendment, which is where there's strict separation of the government and the press. And yourself, as a journalist, I wondered if, especially in this field, I wondered if you could comment on this case and on other cases that you know of, where you see that now you have the Stephenville City Council, and perhaps they received pressure from the military in this case to then go to the newspaper to then summarily dismiss Angelia Joyner and confiscate her computer. How do you see that as a journalist? I mean, coincidentally, you've been both a journalist and a teacher, which is what Angelia Joyner is.
Yeah, well, I see it as being very dangerous. I mean, I'm wondering if the reason why the San Diego sightings weren't reported is because the Fox reporter that reported the San Diego sightings did it in a very objective manner, and maybe they were threatened, you know, and maybe somebody's saying to the people in San Diego or the media, don't make a big deal out of it, don't make a big deal out of it, and maybe that they didn't, but Stephenville did. And because Stephenville did, and Angelia took this on, she risked her job. I mean, it's very, very unusual to find a media person that doesn't make fun of this phenomenon. As you know, Alfred, because you were there, we were in Washington, D.C., with the what I call the United Nations of Research, the United Nations of Ufology. We were there with people from all over the world, like Jules Dabourdet and Antonio Huneos from Chile and Jaime Maussan and Nick Pope and you people from Canada, we were there doing something very serious talking about this, and the Washington Post ridiculed it, talking about the red vote, the blue vote, and the little green men vote. And so usually we find reporters that touch this and do not do a serious job of it. But Angelia Joyner did. And what she did do is just tell what happened. I don't think she put her slant on it. I don't think she was biased. I think she just wrote a story that, you know, one of the witnesses was being harassed. And that's all you need. I mean, it becomes a situation where someone is controlling the information. I don't think it's really open yet for reporters and journalists to report on this phenomenon yet. And yes, it is a violation of First Amendment rights.
We've been listening to our Exopolitics Radio interview with author and Exopolitics commentator Paula Harris. This is your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. We now resume our Exopolitics Radio interview with author and researcher Paula Harris. Thank you. So how do you think, now that this case has come up, and by the way, Paula, I should say that Exopolitics Radio has contacted Angelia Joyner, and she has been very gracious. And what she said is that, look, I set out to be the teller of the story, not to become the story. I now have suffered a very great trauma, and I need to put my life back together. I'm in the process of finding other jobs to feed my family, and so I don't want to continue with myself as the focus of the story. So she declined to come on this program. But I shared with her that we would be covering this from the point of view of principle, and that is the principle that there are profound rights here guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States, which in the First Amendment envisioned a strict separation between the press, the media, and the government, so that there was to be no interference between the government and the media. And yet, as researchers, we know, going back to the 1950s, there have been infiltration of the media in programs such as Operation Mockingbird, which are very well researched, which is the program of the Central Intelligence Agency, which has been a prime agency engaged in the truth embargo, which has also deployed its operatives in the mainstream media, such that many key media executives are actually double agents, double military intelligence agents, deployed there to control what is published on key issues such as extraterrestrial and UFO issues. And I wondered if, from your vast experience in this area, if you could share some anecdotes or some stories that you know about media infiltration and media control, and, you know, how First Amendment rights are in fact not respected in this area.
Well, first of all, Alfred, I really admire you for contacting Angelia, because she needs support. And I know tonight that Stephen Bassett is on Coast to Coast, and he's going to be talking about it too. Stephen Bassett, who is the director of the X Conference, and he will be talking about her and the First Amendment rights, and we will all support her as journalists because it's a human rights issue. This isn't a UFO issue. This is a human rights issue. Okay, so I want to first say that I thank you for contacting her and doing that. The stories that I have are that I was present when the Peter Jennings special was being put together. And I was with Dr. John Mack and Bud Hopkins and Leslie Kane. We were in Newport, Rhode Island, and the Peter Jennings people came down. And they interviewed Dr. John Mack, and they interviewed the other people that are serious people. I mean, Dr. John Mack was a Harvard University professor. I mean, he was a psychiatry professor and a very, very, very distinguished person. And also they interviewed people that were involved with the Roswell incident and Edgar Mitchell, who is, you know, an astronaut and who told them that the Roswell incident was real. Well, the Peter Jennings special, when it came on, was a complete whitewash. At the end, they insinuated that Roswell was not real. Plus, they never put any of the footage of Dr. John Mack, who by that time, you know, was not with us anymore. So I think that was a complete whitewash. It was a complete lack of responsibility. And when I met the two journalists that were working with the ABC special with Peter Jennings, they seemed young people, really enthusiastic, really wanting to do this story. I mean, there was nothing about them that made me think that they weren't sincere. So God knows what happened to all the material. That's one example of a media whitewash. The second one that I know of is when I was in Ireland, another woman journalist, Alison Healy, had the courage to, through the Freedom of Information Act, to get hold of 30 of the top cases through the Irish UFO cover-up. And she gave them to me, actually. I have the 30 cases that Alison Healy, as a journalist, was able to get hold of. And she put it on the front page of the Irish paper. And I contacted her later, and she said she had small children, that she did not want to go ahead and do very much on this story, that it was basically a sensationalist story that goes on the front page. I know that's not true because, as a journalist, you're not going to go and write all these papers and documents to get through the Freedom of Information Act. So I think that, in a way, she was discouraged also from going ahead and doing any more with the Irish UFO situation. A lot of the papers that I have are blacked out also. And so, you know, here are two stories of sincere journalists, people doing their jobs, their real jobs, and that's reporting, who had a whitewash or a situation that was not pleasant or had pressure put on them. I myself am a freelance journalist. The stories I cover will always be on my website, which is www.paolaharris.com. And I don't answer to anybody, so I don't have that problem. But people that work for specific structures are taking a risk.
Right, and you have pointed out that women journalists who are also underrepresented in this field, although more and more women are coming into this field, they seem to be particularly vulnerable because if we look at the case of Angelia Joyner, she has small children. If we look at the case of Alison Healy, she has small children. So because of the sociological fact that women generally are the caregivers to children, they are the most vulnerable. And at the same time, paradoxically, women seem to be fairly good risk takers in this area. If we look at the case of yourself and Jelia, Linda Moulton Howe, others who have been able to come in and really begin to get to the bottom of some fairly deep issues in the field. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I can comment on my personal story. I was teaching at the American Overseas School of Rome, and I taught a class in photojournalism, but I was personally asked not to speak about UFOs and not to touch the subject. And I know that in a funny kind of way that there was pressure put on the administration with my being there. And, you know, I think that was a risk I had to take. And at the time, I also was speaking at major conferences in Italy, plus my book is in Italian, So, and I was on television. And so for them, it could have been a major embarrassment. This subject is not in the mainstream yet. It's still considered fringe. However, in Europe, it's much more mainstream than here. I mean, in Europe, we don't deal with the ridicule factor as much. And in Europe, there are more people that are scientists and astronomers and professors that will attend a conference, more professionals that are interested in this. So personally, I've had problems in that way, too. And I have been very careful to separate job from, my teaching, so forth, from the journalism part. However, in my later years, which is now when I'm retired, I want to dedicate my life to the journalism part. It is that part, Alfred, that will change the world. It is that's going to leave the mark. It is that you and I have as a legacy to leave. It is that which we do right now that will be the most important thing that we do, because the question, as James Fox put it, and he's a documentary maker, he's not a ufologist, he said the question of the UFOs that are visiting, or whatever it is that's visiting this planet, is probably the most important question for humanity. We're dealing with the most important question for humanity, and often the most censored.
Right. So getting back then to these issues, looking at the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day sightings in San Diego, kind of the turn of the calendar, what do you think is behind the San Diego sightings and with the Northern Mexico sightings, and do you see them different from the Stephenville sightings? Do you think that the Stephenville sightings are maybe ARV sightings, that is, vehicles that are not extraterrestrial but more human? Or do you think that those are extraterrestrial vehicles? Do you feel that the San Diego and the Mexican sightings are more extraterrestrials? Do you think that this is a false issue? What are your feelings in these kind of more subjective issues?
Well, you know, I knew you were going to ask me this, and I knew it. And actually, I'd love to sit down and talk to you about what you think about it. But the thing is this, that something is coming down. This is, number one, 2008 will be important. That's my prediction. Number two, something is coming down. There are too many Larry King shows. There are too many media coverage of UFOs. So something is coming down. Now, whatever it is that's coming down could be that they're getting ready to tell us that it's the truth, which I don't think is the case necessarily.
Right.
Or they're preparing a scenario for that which we call the ARV, which is the back-engineered alien technology, to create some kind of false space war and freak everybody out, as usual. And so we need, that would be the only logical explanation for all the media attention that the Stephenville, which has no video footage. And they're thinking that they maybe start with small time America and start doing that. I do believe that what was seen over, La Jolla is real. In other words, it's probably not ARV. It's not our stuff. And I think that I'm looking at that as the first day of the year, but also where it's at, La Jolla, all that area there, there's a lot of military activity, especially underwater in that area. There's a lot of underwater kinds of research done there. The Mexico City, I think, has another reason, and we have to ask Jaime about that. I think that ecologically we're going to have some serious problems. I mean, there's freezing in China. I mean, people don't know it, but if you've been reading the Institute, list, for the first time in Hong Kong, there's snow, there's freezing, it's almost at a standstill. I think it's two things in all of the above, which is the name of my latest book. It's going to be a warning for ecological disasters. It probably also will be some kind of staging of some kind of event, because I really don't think sincerely that sometime the American government is going to come out and say, yes, we do have UFOs, we've been lying all this time, we're back-engineered technology. That just is not going to happen. So when you see all this media coverage of something like Stephenville, I wonder what it's leading up to. And what it could be leading up to is some kind of demonization of aliens, or some kind of negative kind of situation around visitations. But I have faith, Alfred, that whoever's visiting us is not going to let this happen, is not going to let humanity just completely make a decision that whatever is visiting the Earth, warning us about ecological disasters and everything, has to do with heavy negativity.
Right, right. Well, Paola, we've come just about to the end of a very, as I said, action-packed segment, and we hope that you will join us again soon. Are there any parting thoughts that you'd like to leave our audience with?
Yes. Number one, keep an open mind. Absolutely. And number two, remember we're not alone in the universe, and we haven't been, and with all the visitations, we haven't been attacked or they haven't hurt us, especially with the O'Hare sighting. Nobody did anything. They just sort of appear. And that's number two. And number three is to read everything you can get your hands on and to study this seriously without ridicule.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. We've been with Paola Harris, who is a member of the board of the Exopolitics Institute and author of Exopolitics, How Do You Talk to a Ball of Light? And now the reissued Connecting the Dots. Her website is www.paolaharris.com. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Well, you know, every once in a while you have to go back and read fundamental documents like the Declaration of Liberty and realize that it was oppression by King George of England that led the colonists at that time to rise up and say, hey, no more. And I think it's oppression by King George W. Bush, Richard B. Cheney, and the Pentagon in interfering with our First Amendment rights, in having reporters and the media report to us the accurate facts about extraterrestrial vehicles in San Diego and in Texas, and stopping the intimidation of witnesses. And those rights are guaranteed. So we're going to continue to report this until King George, stand down, Pentagon, stand down. Exopolitics Radio is produced by Phoenix Productions in conjunction with 1480 KPHX, Progressive Talk Phoenix, executive producer Richard Romero Sr., director Avi Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and First Amendment protected day, week, and life. Thank you.